Good morning. You are listening to the Ag Your Morning Word podcast on KVLU 92.3 Logan, Utah. I'm Morgan Pratt.
I'm Brad Robinson.
And I'm Catherine St. Clair.
And I'm Joshua Corey.
Yeah, you're trying to box him out of saying that he's here. I don't want him to say it.
I am not a valued member of this team.
You are.
You know, you're the token not as liberal as everyone else guy.
Joe, too. And Bo, Brad. Brad's lying.
Well, we just have to have one each show.
Oh, okay.
To keep the balance here.
Just one.
So we're fair and just balanced. One.
Okay. Well, actually, we're news the modern way, so that's not fair and balanced. Thank you for listening. Today on the show, we're going to chit-chat a little bit about the debate last night.
The debate.
Yeah, and if you stay tuned, we'll probably also talk about Thriller and Michael Jackson.
Ooh.
So stay tuned. It's not good news, guys. The word of the day. Let's talk about the word of the day.
The word of the day is roister, which is to engage in noisy revelry.
That is one of those words that sounds like it means roister. I like that word.
Can I just say I want Kat to like narrate my everything right now, just in a very soothing
narrate
voice.
Your life.
Yeah.
Then your life would be an arts film if it was narrated by Kat St. Clair.
You're saying that like it's a bad thing.
No, I love art films. When I ever get the chance to watch them, which is not very often because Morgan falls asleep every time we watch anything slow.
Anything at all.
Or anything at all, basically. Unless it's American Horror Story. But
that's true.
I don't know how that works.
So today, it's about 40 degrees outside right now, and it's expected to get up to 71. It's super beautiful outside. The air quality is good. And today is International Newspaper Carrier Day.
Aww.
So...
Is there such a thing as a newspaper carrier anymore?
Yes, there are actually.
I thought it was all robots, like, or something. I don't know. Where does news... Where did the newspapers
the come
from?
The Statesman staff?
Yeah, we have newspaper carriers, right?
Brad,
yeah.
They wake up at the butt crack of dawn. Also, you can read your freaking Statesman. You should. We should have had them on the show today and like thanked them for delivering. Thank you, newspaper deliverers. Thank you.
I miss the good old days when you saw the boys and the bikes. Yeah, anyway.
All right, and just so you guys know, this day in history.
Oh, hold on. Today's National Food Cake Day. Okay, now.
Angel Food Cake Day.
Come on, Morgan. So this day in history, it looks like the hijacking of the Italian cruise ship, the Achille Lauro, reaches a dramatic climax when U.S. Navy F-14 fighters intercept an Egyptian airliner attempting to fly the Palestinian hijackers to freedom and force the jet to land at a NATO base in Sigonella, Sicily. American and Italian troops surround the plane, and the terrorists were taken into Italian custody.
And that was in 1985.
Oh, thank you.
So Hurricane Matthew that spread misery in the Caribbean, the Carolinas, is no longer a hurricane. But even as it heads out to sea, the storm is causing a serious problems for southeastern United States. North Carolina is feeling the brunt. The eastern part of the state will deal with the devastating flooding for several days as the rivers top their banks. 1,000 people in North Carolina have been rescued, some in dramatic helicopter operations, and 3,000 people are still living in shelters, authorities said Sunday. More than 500,000 customers still lacked electricity Sunday night. Hurricane Matthew may be off the map, but it's still with us. As of 5 p.m. Sunday, it was about 200 miles east of Cape Hatteras in North Carolina, heading about 50 miles an hour. The storm's death toll has climbed up to at least 17.
Indian police are investigating the parents of a 13-year-old girl who died last week after undertaking a religious fast for 68 days.
Wow.
Police in southern Hyderabad city told BBC Hindi they want to know if... Sorry, every time I get up to a name. Ardhana Samadri. That is a tough combination of letters.
Ardhana Samdariya.
There we go. Was forced...
Kudos to you.
Was
good job.
Forced to fast. Her parents have insisted she voluntarily fasted as prescribed in Jainism. So.
Yeah, Jainism is a... an extreme religion for those who practice it. Let's talk about Singapore.
So the highest court in Singapore has jailed a transgender man who is biologically female for the sexual abuse of a 13-year-old girl. In April, a court ruled the defendant was a woman and issued an acquittal, saying only men could be convicted of penetrative sex with a minor. But in a landmark judgment, the Court of Appeal overturned that ruling, saying the law was gender neutral. The defendant has now been sentenced to 10 years in jail. Singaporean media have reported the case as the first time a woman has been convicted of the sexual abuse of a female child.
It looks like under a new law, perpetrators of so-called honor killings can no longer walk free in Pakistan if pardoned by the victim's family. The bill, which failed to gain traction when it was first introduced in March, passed unanimously in both houses of parliament on Thursday. Now a killer will face a minimum sentence of 25 years in jail. Senator Fahutala Babar said no murderer will be able to walk free even if his parents or family members forgive him for killing his sister, wife, or mother in the name of, quote, honor.
That's a pretty good law to have passed.
That's a pretty
I'm really glad that
big thing considering that this has been their way of life for a long time.
All right, let's jump into some political news. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton debated last night.
Really? I hadn't heard that.
Yeah.
They had a debate. It wasn't very interesting, was it?
I don't know. Kat has the rundown about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if we really wanted to get into it now.
oh, we do.
The political debate last night was fiery. It reminded me of one of the Republican debates we saw earlier this year. Maybe a little bit less organized than the Republican debates, which is pretty terrifying to hear, I think. The issue is that Donald Trump made tons of personal attacks and a lot of false allegations. it was a really difficult debate for Hillary Clinton, and the biggest false allegation made by Donald Trump was that of the fact that Canadian citizens come from Canada to America for healthcare. And you know who's done that? Zero people. There are buses of
people. What about Justin Bieber? That's why he came here, right?
Right, yeah. For the healthcare.
Right. Why else would he come to the United States?
He looks like a paragon of health, that 20-year-old, whatever. The issue I see with that is, like, there are buses full of people in New York who ride up to Canada to buy penicillin, every week. It's pretty normal. In fact, my family, at one point in time, went back to Canada to, someone was sick and we just, drove back up because it was cheaper to drive all the way home than it was to go to a hospital here.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
We should just write a book full of Trumpisms.
Wait a minute. If he was saying that people from Canada come to the United States for health care, does that mean Obamacare is working, according to Trump? Does that mean that actually Clinton was part of something that's working really well?
Well, he was claiming that Obamacare is a huge failure and that, that Hillary's idea of single-payer health care would make us like Canada. And I'm so tired of this lie that Canada's healthcare system is bad. Let me explain this to you. If you're trans and you wanted surgery, do you know what the easiest way to get it would be?
Go to Canada?
Canada?
File for citizenship, move to Canada, live there for a year, then live there for 6 additional months as a citizen, then apply for surgery, and in about a year, one of the top surgeons in the whole world will give you totally free surgery. And I have to say, that is so much easier than the American system. And we have at least a year wait time here for the same surgery. So, why does it even matter?
In other news about the debate, Trump said that he would have arrested Hillary Clinton. Because we want to elect someone as president who would arrest their political opponent. That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, in other news, Donald Trump mischaracterized the record of Hillary Clinton's defense on her husband and her own treatment of women when he brought up Clinton's sexual history and other episodes in the past. Clinton didn't just square account of the fallout from her previous practices. A look at some of the claims in the second presidential debate. Trump asked whether the presidency behavior with women that he described in 2005 video amounted to a sexual assault. He said, no, I didn't say that at all. The facts, he certainly didn't own up to his sexual assaults and boastful remarks in 2005.
Man, that's the title of his book. No, I didn't say that at all.
That's his next autobiography. I didn't say that at all. He's like a child. He's like when the parent's like, oh, did you just punch your brother?
Wrong.
No, I didn't. Wrong. I didn't do that. Or he Wrong. Started it. Or it was because of the unfair questions at the debate that I punched my brother. That's basically his way of acting. Yeah. So should we move on?
So those boastful claims that they're talking about in 2005, what happened was this weekend, videos surfaced.
Yeah, there was a video surfing
of Donald Trump, and he was going to be on a reality TV show, and he had his microphone on, and he was like in his trailer talking with some of his friends, and they were saying like horrible things about this woman that Donald Trump was, I mean, I don't know, sleeping with, sexually assaulting, I don't know.
Well, he bragged about sleeping with the with married women, and he also said that it was okay for him to sexually assault women because he was rich.
Right.
And he said that with that, right, if we're being specific, and I think that we should, what he said was, you know, I see a beautiful woman and I just kiss her. I don't ask. I just do it. And he said the same thing about a certain beautiful woman that he saw and grabbing her genitals.
Yeah.
So
and so a lot of people have pulled out, like Governor Gary Herbert is like, heck no. Mike Lee is like, heck no, I'm no longer going to support this
guy. Yeah, the Salt Lake Tribune reported that yesterday he said, I am not going to support Donald Trump. I mean, that's not news because he hasn't supported Donald Trump ever. But he also said that Donald Trump should step down from his position as the Republican nominee to allow another Republican to run for president, because basically he's not going to win.
Yeah. Huge swaths.
Mitt Romney.
Please,
this is your
come
cue.
Back. We love you. Mitt Romney.
Please yeah. come back, Mitt Romney.
Yeah. Huge swaths of the National Senate and House are saying that they are withdrawing their support and endorsement of Trump. So,
yeah. So, talking about the debate. Sorry, there's way more things. The Republican leaves no doubt he'll suspend the election final month, dredging the decades-old sexual assault allegations against Clinton's husband. Yeah, it's just a lot of political stuff. In other news, Evan McMullen, he is also running for president. He wasn't in the debate. He is the Utah guy who's running. What? He's the independent guy.
Independent Republican running for president.
Yeah,
you can
he
do that.
Like worked for like the CIA, right?
Yeah, and he was a good.
This is the first time I've heard of the guy.
Really?
Really? Yeah.
We talk about him on the show all the time.
Yeah, he's a good Mormon. He went.
You never talk about it when I'm
stuff.
Here.
Yeah. I love the way you said that, Brad. He's a good Mormon.
Mormon.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I support Evan McMullen. He's a good guy.
So he set to name businesswoman Mindy Finn as his running mate.
I don't know who she is.
I don't know either, but I don't know anybody.
A lot of small names in this debate. Or in this.
Yeah, why don't they have a debate between everyone else that no one knows about? They
like
have like
Jill Stein, Evan McMullen.
Gary Johnson, Gary. All of the Socialist Workers Party's nominee, the other party that's also socialist nominee.
Brad, if you want that, what you do is you go to YouTube, you type in the word conspiracy theory, or two words, conspiracy and theory, hit enter, and you'll find everything you need to support your third-party candidate.
Well, I'll have to look into that then.
I feel like he does that anyway, but without a political agenda.
Oh, yeah, I love me some conspiracy theories, but they're not really conspiracy theories because it's real. There really is a conspiracy.
In other news, Mike Pence is possibly leading in a 2020 Republican presidential field.
Oh, guys.
Are we already planning that far ahead now? We've just given up. We're like, okay, let's just plan for the next one.
The Republicans are, because they did the same thing in 2012. They were like, well, His ads weren't that good. Hey, let's plan on the next guy.
Mike Pence is good looking. He's not orange. Let's shoot for him to win.
He's not orange.
He's a weirdo, but he sounds normal.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some national news.
All right. So it looks like two Palm Springs police officers, one returning from maternity leave and the other nearing retirement, are fatally shot allegedly by a gang member.
And Harvard MIT professors win Nobel in economics. Oliver Hart and
Is it
Benger?
Nobel or Nobel Prize?
Like, Nobel Prize.
Is that like the thing, like Nobel, yeah. You just win a Nobel?
Yeah, yeah, something like that. I'll bet they're so cool that now they just say, yeah, when I got my Nobel, yeah,
I'll let you know when
chill.
I win one.
Actually, they were really happy when they got it and surprised. So the name of the two winners are Oliver Hart and Benger Holstrom. And they're recognized for their theories that are valuable to the understanding of real-life contracts and institutions, as well as potential pitfalls in contract design. So their research involved how you write contracts and how you account for things that are not in the contracts that might come up in the future, and how you make sure that you give both parties bargaining power when these issues arise. And that's one of their big research topics. The other was into how you pay your top executives and how you compensate them. And basically the conclusion they've come to is that if you reward them for long-term success, that is kind of the best solution. And that's what they're, yeah. So that's a pretty cool prize to have.
Yep. So we're going to go to break. Coming back after this, we're going to talk about how Cache Valley is lacking options on the ballot, and how Donald Trump is helping liberals here in Cache Valley raise money. So thank you so much for listening to the Aggie Morning Word podcast. KVLU 92.3 Logan, Utah on Aggie Radio. I'm Morgan Pratt.
I'm Brad Robinson.
I'm Captain St. Clair.
And as always, I'm Josh Corey.
Thanks so much for listening. Welcome back to KVLU 92.3 Logan, Utah on Aggie Radio. This is the Aggie Morning Word podcast. I'm Morgan Pratt.
I'm Brad Robinson.
I'm Catherine St. Clair.
And I'm Joshua Corey.
And today is October 7th. I don't know if you guys know that.
It's October 7th?
Breaking news.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's October 10th, guys. It's the day we get paid.
Oh, oops. I forgot. Not that Aggie Radio. We don't get paid for Aggie Radio.
Oh,
but
no, it's the day I get
the
paid.
University,
yeah, yeah.
You get paid. So the Howl is coming up, guys. It'll be Saturday, October 29th from 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. That'll be at the Tegart Student Center. Tickets are $15 for students and $25 for the public.
And Morgan, what is this Howl for those of us who have no idea what
you have
like,
no
wait,
idea
no, no.
what the Howl is? Okay. That's okay. It's okay.
It's
cool.
She's
breathe
taking
in,
deep
breathe
breaths.
In.
She's
like, yeah, yeah. Just
Halloween is
calm
sacred
down.
To me.
It's okay.
Well, I love Halloween, but you have to remember that I'm also a shut-in and a recluse, and I don't know anything about the world around
okay,
me.
Okay, so the Howl is a Halloween event we have every year at Utah State. It's one of the biggest Halloween themed events.
Biggest.
Until
it's
they,
not that
yeah.
cool anymore.
Well, the problem was they decided it was being too much of a problem because they had people breaking the law, aka drugs, alcohol.
That's a problem. Okay.
So then they handed it over to the Institute for a year. Remember that?
Yeah.
When the Logan LDS Institute hosted the Howl? And so that changed all the rules. People loved to go to the Howl because they could dress
scandalously. Like one girl I remember, she wore saran wrap.
Yep. There were all sorts of costumes. The sky was the limit when it came to the Howl, and then the Institute did it. And then no one wanted to come to the Howl again.
Yeah,
but
people
now
would
it's back.
Come from around the state. Like I have like friends who are a little bit older than me who would like, "Oh my gosh, you go to Utah State. You guys have the Howl," and like everybody would come from all over the state. So that's
secret.
Not as much.
I've never gone.
Anymore.
Actually, there's something kind of important here to discuss, and that is that the police chief here has interpreted the USU rules to be a little bit different than they actually are. He said that you can't come to the Howl drunk because you cannot have a. You cannot have alcohol in any vessel, and your body is a vessel, and. You know what? That's a really ancient way to look at your body. It is a vessel for demons. That's why we're celebrating Halloween.
Ooh, like, well, he's got the Halloween spirit. What are you talking about? He's got it all year round. I respect that.
So this week is Diversity Week. Monday, they'll have the International Dessert Night. Tuesday is the Disability Diversity Discussion. Wednesday is the Human Library. It's the Faith Edition. Oh my gosh, guys, I love the Human Library so much. It's one of my favorite events of the entire year.
So this, again, please explain.
Okay, so it's awesome. So what you do is like you go to the library, and instead of checking out a book, you check out a person.
I do that all the time anyways.
Well, yeah.
You check out people all the time.
But you go and you check out a person, and instead of like reading the book for like whatever amount of time, you sit down and this person tells you a piece of their story for half an hour.
You mean like you talk to them. Okay.
Yeah,
but conversation. But it's
cool.
Kind of directed because you can see kind of because
they'll have like a story that
they'll have an introduction like on a board, so you can request to hear someone's story.
And it is the coolest thing ever.
I think they already did they already did one version of it, which is the normal, just everyone
that I missed
has different stories. This one is the Faith Edition, so you get to hear all about people's faith
journeys. Which is
journeys.
So cool.
But the whole idea of a human library sounds very Night Vale-esque.
So Thursday...
And now the weather.
Thursday is Aggie's Got Talent. Friday is the Diversity Dance Party. And Saturday is Pove Bev. So I'm excited for Diversity Week. Yeah. Speaking of things that we are excited about, this weekend was Logan's very first Pride.
Oh, yeah. And who went?
Me.
Fantastic
reporters. Essentially reporters in life.
No, you know what? Actually, I was there and I was gathering up stats at like 2 p.m., which means they had 3 more hours left in it. And already 2,100 people showed up.
Oh, my goodness.
There were more than 50 vendors. And it was just so, so cool to see so many dogs.
So many dogs.
all the cute gay couples
had
dogs.
I'm sure you were excited. Well, yeah. Every good gay couple has a dog. But some have cats, and that's
tragedy.
Well, it's brought in from the 90s.
That's their choice.
Know.
That's their choice. We have to let them.
Well, that's a 1990 to 2010, grandfathered in program. After 2010, gay couples are issued dogs.
Yeah.
So.
They're issued.
So.
Yeah, issued dogs. It's standard.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So it was really cool to go, and it was bigger than Provo's annual Pride Festival. The very first one.
Take that, Provo.
Yeah. Well, I'm not surprised. Provo is just Provo. I'm from there. I know. I can say these things. Provo has issues. They need to really work through them.
Worst city in the whole country for women.
Yeah, if you want a job, don't go to Provo, if you're a woman, that is.
So let's jump into some Utah news, other than Evan McMullen, which is kind of Utah news.
And Mike Lee.
A new poll came out from Dan Jones and Associate, and it shows that of the people they polled, 33% of them strongly approve of legalizing medical marijuana, 25% somewhat approve, 24% strongly disapprove, and 15% somewhat disapprove. That was just like on the front page of the Salt Lake Tribune, and it just like super popped out to me. I was like, oh my gosh, that's crazy.
I'm really surprised about that. There's another story about a survey among Utahns is... Utahns estimate that roughly a quarter of public education funding is spent on school administration, and they would prefer that portion of the budget trimmed to about 14%. Guess what? That's not true. Actually, the administration costs of public education in Utah is less than 10% of the budget.
Really?
Most of the budget goes towards teacher salaries, student services, and supplies.
That's awesome.
Which is fine. However, it should be more. So the average cost for administration among students is $63 per student, which is, compared to the national average, is $202 per student. So it's actually, we could do a little more by paying our school administrators more if we wanted to. And I guess Utahns wouldn't find that a problem. And that makes sense, because I've talked with my dad, and he's like, yeah, Utah State and all these colleges spend so much time. Josh, what are you doing? So, anyway, he is wearing a carton on his head. I don't know why.
He's wearing the cup carrier on his head.
Yes. So I've heard people like my dad who are like, yeah, we spend way too much money on school administrators, which turns out, no, that's not really how it works in Utah.
But we do actually pay the guy at Skyview who had a race war while I was in my senior year. So, you know, maybe we shouldn't be paying that guy anything.
Oh, I don't. It sounds like quite the story. Maybe if we have time, we can talk about that.
So let's jump into some Cache Valley news. This story comes from Utah Public Radio, which is our sister station, kind of. Amy Kobabe and Evan Hall report.
Providence, Utah. Meet the Candidates Night. I spoke with Representative Kurt Webb from Providence, Utah. He represents the south end of Cache Valley. While some representatives in Utah are running unopposed, Webb has never run without a challenger. This year, Dave Clark, also from Providence, is running against Webb.
Well, I ran into the chair of the Democratic Party and said, so, Gina, really? Again? Why just me? But frankly, as I said to my opponent, you know, not having an opponent, it reduces the amount of dialogue you have. And so I don't mind having an opponent from that point of view, if nothing else.
Webb's expertise is in property rights, agriculture issues, and business. He says education is extremely important to the prosperity of Utah. Although he's passionate about these things, he also says he wants to, in a sense, get out of the way and let good people do good things.
I was interviewed early on when I got in the legislature, and somebody said, do you have an agenda? What are you doing? And I said, well, am I supposed to have an agenda? And she said, wow, that's really refreshing. Because if you're not careful, if you have an agenda of your own, you cease to be a good listener. You're not representing the people. You've got your nose down and you're trying to do, often on a crusade for something else. And I try not to do that.
With Utah Public Radio News, I'm Amy Kobabe.
I'm Evan Hall. At that same Meet the Candidates event on the campus of Utah State University, State House District 5 Democratic challenger Dave Clark chats with a group of students. When asked about why he chose to enter the race, Clark says that it's about starting a conversation.
As I looked at the situation and understood more clearly what we were faced with, which is that with four congressional races in our valley, absent my candidacy, none of them would have been opposed. And that's why I'm doing this. I'm not running against Kurt Webb. I'm running for democracy. And you can't have a truly representative government if you don't have a discussion. And you don't have a discussion if you have candidates that are unopposed.
One of the issues Clark is running on is education. He says he is against the recent change to the public school's hiring policy that allows people without education training to be brought on as teachers. Clark says that he hopes his candidacy influences more Democrats to run in Cache Valley.
I would love to see more people be willing to just engage in the process. It's an uphill battle for Democrats in this community and Cache Valley. I don't think there's any secret about that, but that's okay. Get in, get a voice, express yourself, be involved in the process, encourage people to vote, and give people who do vote a chance to make a choice when they fill out the ballot. So yes, I would love to see more Democratic candidates.
With Utah Public Radio News, I'm Evan Hall.
So that was a story out of Utah Public Radio. They are our sister station. They're here, right here on USU's campus. So that David Clark that you heard in that story, he has been able to raise more money this year. And they're saying a lot of that is because of Donald Trump and people's frustration with politics.
Hashtag think a Trump.
Thanks for Trump. Yeah. He's listening. Thank you, Trump. Should I just run? There's no one running for Democrat. Should I just run next year?
Yeah, I thought about running against Senator Lila Hilliard, but then I thought that'd make that awkward because I love him so much.
So every now and then I think about how I could run for office here in Logan. Right, you and can't. I wouldn't do well because I haven't been anyone's stake president yet.
And you don't have money, Brad. I don't.
Yeah. I have a radio station that might help sponsor me.
No, that's illegal. Actually, that's not illegal. So let's talk a little bit about science news.
It's science. Oh, so what kind of phone do you have, Kat?
This is a Galaxy S7.
Is it now?
Yeah, it is.
Really?
Yeah.
You mean the one that explodes?
Have you returned it yet?
No, you're thinking of
That's the Note 7.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, so Samsung changes Note 7 output schedule after fire reports. The electronics giant crisis with its Galaxy smartphone hits a new low as it made changes to its production of the problem phone to ensure safety. So if you think that this is deja vu, it's because it's happened twice. So they had to recall tons and tons of phones. Once, their Galaxy Notes, because of the battery issue, and they sent it out again. And then somebody had their Galaxy Note catch on fire in an airplane. And this was the one that they had received after they returned the product. And so it turns out their Galaxy Note is never going to get fixed, I guess.
So there are two issues here. Here's my tips for not having your phone explode, because this is something that could happen with almost any phone. First off, as much as your phone is pocket-sized for a reason, it's also don't leave it in your pocket. That's how you die. The second one, because there's no airflow. The second thing, because this is a problem with like the whole trying to waterproof your phone, the temperature increases. The second thing fast chargers are nice, but the faster you move electrons across something, the hotter it gets.
The more likely they'll explode. Yeah. Huh. Yeah, that's a good thought.
Life tips from Kat.
You don't want your phone to charge too quickly.
Yeah, plug it into your computer. Good news for terrorists. Slower.
If you need a bomb, just get a Samsung Galaxy Note.
Ooh.
TSA's not going to allow that.
they probably don't.
They check everyone's phone. You just hold up the back.
No, 16. What is it? Like liquids of 16 ounces or less in a bottle. Mm-hmm. No weapons and no Note 7s.
Everyone has to present a cell phone. And they will double check to make sure it's not a Note 7 or a Note 7 in disguise, as an iPhone.
So, dancing, guys?
Well, see, I love to dance, but I feel like maybe some people take it possibly a step too far. For example, it looks like Science Magazine is hosting their 9th year of their Dance Your PhD contest, which... Okay, get this. It challenges scientists to explain their doctoral research through the medium of dance.
What?
Ooh.
That is the most amazing thing ever.
Well, I'm just shocked it's in their 9th year. It's like, not only is this a thing, but it's been a thing for 9 years running.
Become a part of, like, national television? It's like, when NBC wants something new and not so controversial after they've had The Apprentice on their show, you know,
so
they
you
can
think
go
you
with
science,
scientists.
Dancing with the Scientists. Oh, there's just a whole host of specials.
Tonight on Dancing with the Scientists. good times.
Neuroscientist dances against biologist.
See, and they're down to their finalists right now, guys. So you can actually go on to Science Magazine's website and vote for them. They're from 8 different nations, and they've used a wide variety of dance skills to explain their research, including modern dance, ballroom dance, aerial skills, and even acrobatic pole dancing.
So here's a question for you guys. What's a few words that you associate with teenagers?
Smelly.
Smelly?
Zits.
Poor.
Poor?
Hormonal.
Okay.
Dumb.
Lonely.
I would mostly say dumb.
Dumb? Okay, you're on the right track, Kat. So there's been some more research about teenagers and why they take risks. And the research says that risk-taking might be the process of learning quickly for teenagers.
Well, they're not wrong.
And so, yeah, right? You learn really quickly as a teenager because you make really dumb mistakes, and then you're like, I shouldn't do that again. Wait a minute. Let me try one more time just to make sure I was right about that. So this was done by Harvard researcher Juliet Davidow, and the study was published in the journal Neuron, which I can tell you is one of the leading neuroscience journals. And so they found that negative teen behavior, or they decided that people often focus on the negatives of teen behavior, so they wanted to see if there are benefits, and it turns out that, yeah, you learn really quickly when you take dumb risks.
Yeah, this has to do with, like, my family has a really long-standing tradition of trying drugs as teenagers. Speaking of drugs as teenagers,
nice segue.
Trove of cannabis plants found in ancient tomb in China.
What?
Yeah!
No, it gets even better. So, ancient whole female cannabis plants. Now, this is important because only the female cannabis plants produce THC. So, whole female cannabis plants discovered in tomb in northwestern China. This NPR reports. Researchers have unearthed 13 cannabis plants in an ancient tomb in northern China, suggesting the prehistoric Central Eurasians had ritualistic or medicinal uses for the mind-altering plant. And this is something that is really interesting because 13 female plants, that's not a coincidence. Like, if like half of them had been male, half of them had been female, or something like that, like, oh, you know, this is just a farmer who uses this to make paper. Like, no. 13 female plants. There's only one use for that many female plants.
The only
this
thing
is
that
this guy's personal stash.
Make it more clear if it were 20. You know, like as in 420. Yeah, you got my joke. Mm-hmm. So quirky, well, this is kind of not quirky, entertainment news. So there's news about someone who you have heard of but you've never heard of. So, Rod Temperton, do you guys recognize his name?
Temperton sounds really nice and British.
Yes. Well, he is British, so you're right on that one. That end.
I'm going to guess that he's a British duke.
Okay, that's a guess.
A British overlord.
That's a overlord. Guess. Okay, Josh?
A British snob, a British critic?
Well, it turns out he
David
is...
David Cameron. He's no. David Cameron. How about... He's David Cameron, isn't he?
Oh, what? Robert Temperton?
He's a politician.
No, well, he
wants to secede from the UN.
No, guys, you're just throwing things out. But you know what? He's the exact opposite of Duke, because guess what? Well, he started out as frozen fish. But then he ended with writing some of the most famous songs that you've all heard, including Michael Jackson's Thriller. And unfortunately, he passed away a few weeks ago, but news came out. Unless you change that number on the
dial. And now is the time. Okay, sorry. I was just all day to play that song.
I was trying to throw off Morgan's groove.
He was definitely not so jiving gonna, with me.
She was going to throw me from the tower because, yeah, that's the rule when it comes to the Empress.
What he's saying is I have control of the mics and I can kill. I can kill his mic anytime I want.
Yeah,
or not kill his mic.
So he wrote a number of really famous songs, including Michael Jackson's Thriller, and he passed away, as I said, a few weeks ago. But we had news of it first this weekend, and that's when it just became public. So he started out packing fish, frozen fish, and ended writing some of the most famous songs of all time. So kudos to him.
Shout out to him. All right. Now let's talk about all the tweeters who are more electable than Donald Trump. Garfield's is just as orange and just as lazy, but he doesn't demean women.
Woo!
Hashtag more electable than Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I'm 25. Soon I'll be 35. You can start voting for me. I'm just saying.
You're Canadian, though.
Yeah.
So is Ted Cruz.
That's right.
You don't have
we need to see his birth certificate. We're not sure he was born in the United States.
I'm white. No one's going to ask questions.
Oh, man.
A trash can is more electable than Donald Trump.
How about
Barney is more electable than Donald Trump.
Yeah, he's got great family values, right?
Yeah.
He really represents the Republican voting base.
Also, the best thing about Barney running for president is that he can really sell you on the he loves you part. Like, I love you.
Yeah, it's genuine.
We love all. Yeah. I am gonna build a wall.
Wait, Barney can't be racist. No, don't run this for me.
He's purple, though. He's
purple. Yeah, he purple represents. Dinosaur. Yeah, yeah, everything.
Monica, Rachel, Phoebe, Joey, and Chandler, or Ross, are all more electable than Donald.
I wouldn't vote for Ross, though.
This cat is more electable.
My overweight cat. You got it.
These cheeseburgers more electable.
This block of cheese is more electable than Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Bonus, the slogan doesn't need to change much at all. Make America great.
That sounds like he wants to die.
Guys, I have breaking news, but you need to talk about Pizza Rat.
Pizza Rat is more electable than Donald Trump. It's a rat in, like, New York City, like, carrying around a slice of pizza on its back. It's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. Voldemort is more electable than
Donald Trump. I've said that a few times. I have that stance.
Nixon's head in a jar from Futurama.
Futurama,
I love that show. Is more electable.
Yeah, I mean, he's been involved in less scandals. He's used less money in slush funds than Donald Trump, right?
Dwight Schrute is more electable than Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah, I would totally. That's a good write-in option, right?
Wilson, the volleyball.
Yep.
The Lorax. That's the way. Homer Simpson.
He's yellow instead of orange, that's which true. Is much more. Yeah, I like that color better than orange.
Yeah, so as we wrap this up, I'd like to remind you that you can volunteer to work at the Howl, to work security at the Howl. And if you'd like, you can join me and my group of people that don't listen to the police chief and work security. It's nice.
What do you mean work security?
Well, because they check people on the way in, on the line in to the Howl, and check for people who have been drinking or drugs. And sometimes people can be a little bit overzealous with kicking people out. And so you can work security. You know, and I think you get in for free eventually. And there's benefits.
Yeah. So
they're looking for volunteers.
Shout out to Cafe Ibis, who sponsors this show. I love their coffee.
The only reason why I'm awake in here is for Cafe Ibis.
And we really appreciate their support. It's my favorite. It's Morgan's favorite. It's Kat's favorite. So it's everybody's favorite, basically.
Thank you so much for listening to the Aggie Morning Word podcast, KBLU 92.3, Logan, Utah. The Aggie Morning Word, we are the modern news. What?
Yeah. News the news. Modern way.
Yeah, news the modern way.
And we'll work on it.
The last thing I have to say to everyone is good night, Night Vale.
Is that trademarked?
No, definitely not.
This is Pink Floyd. Thanks for listening.